Hello, everybody. Welcome to Take the Black React, the Winter is Coming.net reaction show where we bring you our reaction to the Game of Thrones episode immediately after it happened. I'm here with Cheryl Watson. I'm Dan Selke. Okay, Cheryl, episode Dan. 803, Battle of Winterfell. I don't know what it's called yet. If anybody out there knows the episode title, tell us. And we're here to break it down. Immediate reaction, Cheryl.
I'm screaming. So I actually saw Avengers Endgame today as well.
Great.
And this is basically what I wanted from Avengers Endgame, but in a much smaller amount of time and much better.
About half the time.
I did not doubt Miguel Sapochnik's directing abilities, and my faith has been rewarded. Amen. I will worship.
I mean, there's a lot to dig into with that. That was the longest episode of Game of Thrones ever.
Yep.
It had such a mood the entire way through.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, okay. You know what? Let's jump into it. Let's just go with Arya killed the Night King. Did you see that coming at all? Like before the episode?
No, I did not. I'm strongly into it.
You know what? There were some people saying that, like, oh, I see that happening. That's the way it'll go. I didn't really see that. I thought they would give it to Jon or somebody, or Daenerys. But, yeah, I'm completely on board with Arya Stark being the one. The best moment of the episode for me, the best one, was toward the end, very slow-mo, kind of Indian cinema sequence, where Theon charges the Night King. He dies. And then there's this one moment. I loved this bit. Where a random White Walker kind of looks behind him, and a strand of his hair blows just a little bit. And I was like, oh, shit, here comes her Stark, she gonna get it. And then she did. And I was pretty thrilled by that. And, oh, my God. And they draw it out with the choking and the dropping and then the stabbing. They really, really took their time and modulated, kind of chose these little beats over and over and over. Mm-hmm. To, you know, fake you out 1 second and then take you back into it the next second and then go in for the kill the final second. Just, you know, they were playing the audience like a fiddle, I think, in the greatest sense of the term, in terms of directing. Really, really, really good direction throughout.
I was having palpitations, but like in the good way, like good palpitations, as much as you can have good palpitations. I don't think they're healthy, but it was kind of worth it for this episode. Like just that beautiful shot of the dagger dropping down, and we see it, like we are looking like we're on the ground, like we too have been murdered by the undead.
Did you think for a second that she might fail there?
No.
Okay. Yeah, I guess
if you're
late.
Gonna have a cool shot like that, you're going to pay off with it.
Right.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah. And again, what I'm sorry. Okay, my favorite moment, I think if I had to choose one right now, was just the little hair. I just loved it. You know what that means, and you know what's going to happen, and it was very, very satisfying like that. If you would pick a favorite moment.
Oh, no, I have to pick.
You don't have to, but it's good.
I feel like my favorite moment is literally just that dagger drop shot.
So good.
Like, this was an episode that was full of really, really good cinematography and directing, but that shot is bonkers in the very best way possible. I loved it. It was just,
I can only imagine how many times I had to do that.
Oh, yeah.
And folk out there, tell us your favorite moment, because we want to know.
Please do.
Okay, so much that we could talk about.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Okay, you know what? I'm going to do this first. Let's start with, HBO's done a great job of hiding kind of how this season will go. I think a lot of people assumed that the Night King was going to be like the final big bad, and that we, like, that was going to be, you know, the series finale was defeating him. They're doing it not even halfway through, and the last three episodes are all extra long. Frankly, I love that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so totally into that.
I mean, we don't know if, I mean, I hope the Night King is dead, because, like, that seemed...
Oh, he's dead. That looked real damn final.
That looked awful final. I mean, if you're going to disintegrate an ice dragon, you're going for it. But I'm so glad, because, like, yeah, okay, it's really interesting because, you know, he's this inevitable force and stuff, but the heart of the show for me has always been the scheming and the Game of Thronesing. And at the end of the day, we are going back to the great game.
Which I'm totally up for.
I know, me too. I'm so hyped. I can't even.
And I'm glad that they did it like this because it let me enjoy just what this was. Just the long, almost word. I mean, there were some lines, but it was almost a silent film for a lot of it, where it was just carried by the music and the sound design, which we should talk about a little bit, and just the looks and the facial expressions and the movements. And just Ramin Djawadi, the composer, gives a big shout out for this. Obviously, he had to carry it. That piano montage toward the end. He's great at creepy piano montages.
He gets a lot of practice on Westworld.
It's true. I mean, what I thought of was Cersei's piano montage with Light of the Seven.
Seven.
I feel like he drew on that for this.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm very happy that I got to enjoy what they did with that. And now they can kind of... Because it was atypical for a Game of Thrones episode. You know, we don't have like just battle start to the end, hour and a half. But it should end. I agree. It should end in a more... You know, what the show's been for its running time, which is people scheming, people fighting. There'll be more battles, there'll be more spectacular stuff. But whew, just what a wonderful statement piece this was, and what a way to close out this arc. And god damn, Arya, Jesus Christ, that was remarkable. I know I'm swearing a little bit, people, but whatever. That was a pretty amazing episode.
If that episode does not win a slew of technical Emmys.
Oh, good god.
A slew of technical Emmys. Yeah.
Oh, not just technical. I mean,
best directing should probably go to...
Oh, come on! Yeah, absolutely. I want to say more swear words, but yes, absolutely.
Don't say more swear words, Dan.
And I hope, you know, didn't I tell you at one point that I thought this might be Arya's year? Season 8. I think I was right. She killed the Night King, people.
He might be right, everyone.
Let's start back at the beginning for a little bit. That long opening scene where, again, it's a... silence, they're kind of walking around Winterfell, you see the armies mounting, and the first jolt of the episode for me came with Melisandre, surprise return, Valyrian words, all the Dothraki Arryx go up like a light. Great moment.
They are torches against the night.
Oh, how lovely, how poetic. Great moment, very just jolting, and just kind of gets you ready for it.
It was beautiful, and I didn't expect the kind of beauty and poetry in a lot of the shots, not just Melisandre lighting
there are lots of them.
Or the dagger drop shot, but like there's this mix of like, there's this brutality, you know, we have these really chaotic scenes and then we've got these really slow or like very just,
I mean,
it's pretty, guys.
It's hard to make, another very beautiful shot was them, Dothraki right up into the distance. And you see, like, the, you know, the flames, like, going in the night, and they kind of slowly go out.
The lights go out.
And you're like, oh, crap. I know what that means.
We're done for, guys.
And then a few folk ride back. And, like, that's the thing about the Dothraki. I mean, I'm sure a few survived, but
is
mostly.
Is Ghost alive? I'm pretty sure Ghost is dead, guys.
No, they would have shown him dying, surely. They would have.
He's just going to show up next episode. It's fine, guys.
I mean, it's hard to make, you know, zombies... exciting to watch, you know, but because they're all just they're all undead, mindless whatevers. They've always done a good job in Game of Thrones. They did a good job here because they seem more like water. They're like a wave just washing over this place. Yeah. I really love the moment where they lit the trench on fire, and there's a bit where the Hound was looking through, and just they're all just standing there, just looking. And I thought that was great.
And then they start to fall. And open the way up. And it's just, there's a scene in World War Z, which is not...
Oh, 100%. I was thinking World War Z too.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's not a very good film, but one thing that they did really well in the production of that movie was to make them seem so inevitable and so inexorable. And I think that Game of Thrones really did a good job with this episode.
Definitely. There was a... inexorability to the episode where just at no point did you think that there's never a point you like, you know, how in like movies or fights or an Endgame, even the way the fight always goes is like the bad guy wins for a while and then the good guy pushes back.
Yeah.
And like, and then, you know, he ultimately overcomes the shield and becomes it.
Yeah.
There was never a sense of that here. It was pure pounding the whole time. Until Arya had a Hail Mary pass at the very last bit.
Okay, I'm going to make a survival horror reference here because...
It has been called survival horror this episode.
Yep, because it is. like, I don't know if he was playing like Resident Evil 7 or what. Like, it had this very Resident Evil feel to it. Either 7, where at the end, you know, Redfield shows up and stuff, spoilers, or, you know, Resident Evil 2, which just got that remake, you know, Mr. X, like how...
I hear it's really good, but I'm too scared to play it.
I mean, same. But I watch videos on the internet. Like this one. Thanks, guys. But yeah, this kind of... inevitability, this inability to do more than survive. I think...
yes, very much so.
I think this episode nailed that. Nailed that. We're just trying to get through the night.
And I mean, they didn't seem like they were going to.
No.
Like, they you couldn't really predict what happened.
Like, we all know that there's 3 episodes left, and yet we're sitting here, at least I was sitting there like, oh my God, oh my, like, I'm not ready for this. I'm not ready for this. I'm practicing like deep breathing, you know, anything to get me through. I think I just saw a comment flash up that said, I need a Xanax now.
Yes, and you said that. Also, I like Nick's comment, Jorah, friend zone to death, literally lol.
I mean, yeah, I think it was kind of funny that he survives being stabbed multiple times only to collapse right after the Army of the Dead collapses. Like,
he was one of the best who got me the most. Let's talk deaths for a minute.
Okay.
Because, I mean, you know that we have them.
Yeah.
Okay. My favorite moment was the White Walker kind of with his little hair flip.
Okay. I mean, it was great.
The only moment, like, throughout that, I was having little gasps here and there. Like, sure. I gasped a little bit when Lyanna died, of course. I gasped when, like, you know, Sam was about to die. By the way, Sam stepping up, kind of dumb, but I thought that was a nice character moment that he was out there anyway.
But I liked that they didn't let him, like, suddenly become super competent.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Like, he's still super incompetent.
Like, he should not have been there.
No.
Like, he shouldn't have done it.
No. No, he shouldn't have. But, man, I like that they managed to fit these beats and these quiet moments in, like, okay, we're talking deaths. And I don't think it counts as a quiet moment necessarily, but Lyanna Mormont standing up, the giant picks her up and she stands.
And you hear like the crushing noises?
Yeah.
Again, sound design throughout was pretty immaculate.
But like...
they should have like 2 Emmys for that. Just give them 2.
Yeah, just, you know, a plethora. But, like, she takes the giant with her.
So good. And then when her eyes open up again, creepy later.
No.
And Ed's horrifying.
My heart hurt. But in a good way.
Even when the giant, like, smashed her aside. Yeah, that was a pretty great way to... I mean, no one wanted Lyanna Mormont to die. But no. If you gotta go, that was a pretty good death.
Yeah, like...
stabbing a giant zombie in the eye.
It's pretty fitting.
That'll work.
It's pretty fitting. Oh, I see a comment from Helen that says, Theon's death made her cry.
Theon's death. Okay, let's talk about Theon's death. I pointed out to you, I think this is true. So that whole bit where the White Walkers come into the Godswood, which, by the way, I like that their plan, that they had a plan, sort of. Their plan was, because last week, Bran was like, I'll be the bait. I'm like, that's why you're going to do it. But it made a little sense that, okay, they're going to wait until they're completely overwhelmed, and then the White Walkers walk in. And there's that nice little line of them walking in that I enjoyed. I like that shot.
Mm-hmm.
Where it goes to just pure slow-mo all the time around this point of the episode, by the way.
I have no problems with it.
So, yeah. Theon defends Bran. Good performance. Alfie Allen, always great. You're a good man, Charlie Brown. You're a good man, Theon Greyjoy.
Oh.
And then he charges. I was reminded of Sansa's wedding scene to Ramsay Bolton at the Godswood.
Okay.
It seemed really intentional because it was at night. It was snowing.
Mm-hmm.
Theon was there. Theon was, like, Sansa was where Bran was, basically, getting married.
Yep.
And it's kind of like a reverse of that scene, where Theon's doing the right thing and stabbing Ramsay Bolton in the throat.
Yeah.
Only this time he was charging the Night King and just getting his ass whooped and handed to him, which usually happens, but it's the thought that counts.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's this last attempt to do something good for once.
Yes.
After a life that has been up and down, and mostly down, to... try and come back. And like,
he still failed, though.
I mean, he still failed. Shh. Let him have this.
He's still Theon.
Like, okay, we're grading on a curve here, guys. But like, oh man, like the fact that Theon Greyjoy is the last man standing in the Godswood literally until the White Walkers come. Oh, that was a bad joke. Like, he is the last one standing because, you know, Bran's yeah, it just...
It was very well done. It was almost too much slow-mo for me, like, toward the end. Did you think that?
No.
I mean, I don't know, I kind of... There's, like, I went with it because I'm invested in this, and I love these characters, and I love this show. Right. Like, if I had just come to this, I'd be like, okay, good God, like, you're going a lot of slow-mo here. You can see that character's not that important. But, I mean, it worked for this after the hour and a half build-up. By the way, Ashley, really quick, says that Tyrion's little kiss on the hand of Sansa was cute. I agree that was probably the best part for me for the crypt stuff.
Yeah.
If I had a complaint about the episode of things, the crypt stuff didn't really ever feel vital to me.
But I think it was necessary in the sense that Miguel Sapochnik has kind of talked about this before, that you need to have a breather or you're not going to be able to sit through this slog. And I think those were meant to be the breathers. There were still some important character moments in there, you know.
There were. Oh, totally. Tyrion and Sansa especially.
But Missandei kind of getting that jab in.
That was good.
About the Dragon Queen. That was pretty great.
Which I think will foreshadow future stuff.
Oh, well, yeah. There's trouble brewing. But yeah, there was these breather moments, these moments, and then the inevitable kind of happens, and we're right back into survival horror.
Yeah, it brought it back there. We were all wondering for the dead wives from the crypts, and there you go.
There you go.
I did really like the Tyrion kiss of Sansa's hand. I thought that was nice, just like, you know, we might die, so.
I appreciate
it. Wasn't sexual, it was respect. I think it was respect.
Yeah, it was appreciative.
Yeah.
Like, I think her comment that you were the best of them, of all her husbands and all the men she's had to deal with, you were the best, even though I think you're an idiot sometimes.
It was probably like, wanted to be like the Blackwater Maegor's Holdfest stuff, which was funny as well as entertaining, but I guess it wasn't really the right time for that.
When Cersei's not there, it's hard to be more entertaining. Like, all of these characters...
I mean, Tyrion was drinking, I enjoyed that.
I mean, yeah, but he's Tyrion. But I think... Because all of these characters are kind of ostensibly on the same side, it's harder for there to be that kind of funny tension that Cersei brings into it, because Cersei is all just completely
Although, bonkers. As you said, there is tension. Like,
we're
definitely leading up to... That was a good moment, Missandei saying, like, you know, Sansa being... You learned the Dragon Queen, it wouldn't work. It's like, oh, the Dragon Queen, yeah, she sucks. Only she's only saving all your asses. Sorry,
I'm
gonna walk over here to this grave.
Like,
Julie said that, good comment, when the Night King raised all those dead, I gave up. Which, yeah, I think it goes to just the, well, what we were talking about earlier, just the nonstop reaming this episode was giving our heroes, basically.
Yeah.
That it was, there was no, like, pushback. It was just pretty much throughout, failing, 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 dying, 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 until the Hail Mary, which was unique and interesting and good and moody.
Yeah, I really appreciate that they gave the, like you said earlier, that they gave the Hail Mary to somebody not named Jon or Daenerys.
Yes.
And also Daenerys getting completely owned. Like, she's like, Dracarys. And we're all like, it's happening. Oh, crap, it's not happening.
In retrospect, they did give them both their moments, and just neither of them worked. Daenerys tried, flamed up the Night King, and it was nice looking. But then maybe one of the Night King's better moments, a little smirk there. He's like, sorry, girl, it can't happen.
It's the first facial expression that I can ever remember the Night King having, and it's the greatest one.
Also, I really like Daenerys with a sword, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, I was thinking that.
Like, okay, I'm going to still die on the hill of Daenerys Targaryen needs to wear armor.
Sure. I mean, especially there. If she was fighting, might as well give her armor.
Oh, man. Like, but she tried. Bless
I mean,
her.
I respected that. I liked her and Jorah fighting. And then Jon had his moment, which was clearly a Hardhome callback.
Oh, yeah. Battle of the Bastards, too. Or we're thinking about different moments.
I'm thinking about the moment where he tries to charge the Night King, but the Night King raises the dead. Which was what he did at Hardhome, when he did the same arms race thing.
And I'm thinking of, because then the next shot is him basically getting overwhelmed.
Yes.
Much like Battle of the Bastards.
So I guess they combined two of great Jon Snow moments.
And
again, what was Daenerys tried, failed. Jon tried, failed. We're going to try the Arya way. Like, you two failed.
What do we say to the God of Death?
Oh, that was good.
Not today.
Part of me thought that, like, Melisandre would ask that. What do we say to the God of the Death? And then we would cut away. And then later, after she killed the Night King, she would say, not today. But no, their way was less cheesy.
Yeah. Like, there's only so much cheese we can take. I actually really liked the idea, like, because we just leave it with Arya and Bran staring at each other.
Yes.
And these are the two siblings who have kind of
the youngest lost ones
the most. Like, these are the two siblings who have dealt with issues of identity more even than Jon or Sansa, both of whom have have had different names, all that.
They're both the most magical.
Yeah.
Between the Three-Eyed Raven and the Face Stealing.
Right. Like, it was so good. Like, the silence of it.
The silence of it, yes. Or just the kind of the low heartbeat of music that was in there a lot. Especially when, I think it was when the Night King raised them, there was like this kind of like, like almost like Halloween music, like do 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 do. It was really, really effective. You gotta quiet it down. Okay, I'm all over the place here. I really am. But
it's okay.
The death that got me the most was actually Jorah's.
Really?
Yeah, it did. I wasn't expecting it. It just kind of happened.
Yeah.
Although it wasn't just Jorah's. I really liked him and Daenerys fighting beside each other. I mean, it was just a great callback. Like, they've been together since the beginning, and like, I know she cares about him. I know he cares about her. That meant something to me, that he was the one to defend her in kind of her last moments. And then Daenerys tried to help out Jon. That was nice of her. And then when he died, the moment that got me was actually Drogon, who had his own great thing with all the whites climbing all over him, which kind of gave me palpitations for a minute.
Yeah.
I was like, no, go, 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 fly, fly, fly. When Drogon came down and laid his head next to Daenerys and Jorah, actually, that got me. That was the one thing that kind of like, oh, pets are sad.
Yeah. Like, Drogon came back to his mommy. And everyone is just, yeah. That was a good moment. Yeah. I liked that they did not kill, like, even though I was kind of laughing about it earlier, I liked that they didn't kill Jorah until after the Night King's army fell, because it's like, he stood to the end.
Whereas Theon, true to form,
completely lost it.
Dies before he knows that he won.
Yes.
Oh, Theon. Theon's a really great character. And Jorah got a tear from Michelle. Good. She got a tear from all of us, especially. And Drogon gave him a tear, so there.
I'm also really proud that they did not fit in one last Khaleesi.
Me too. I don't do that.
From him.
It avoided, like, the kind of cliche stuff. It always has, usually, Game of Thrones. So I was surprised there. Yeah, I'm glad it was a unique take on a battle they have not done before. Like, there was nothing rousing about it. There was nothing Battle of the Bastards, like, rah, rah, go for it. It was horror. This was a horror episode.
Yeah.
Speaking of horror, how about that Arya Stark in the library dodging zombie scene was pretty fun.
Oh, man. Again, like, my references here are survival horror. Like, there's a brief moment where she kind of goes Batman and Predator mode, if you've ever played the Arkham games, where your goal is basically to sneak around and then take out dudes, but not murder them because you're Batman. But here, Arya is just like, I'm going to sneak around. I'm going to pick my battle.
Killed the one zombie. That's pretty funny.
Shank the one, like, up in the throat. Oh, man. But, like, again, like, this very deliberate use of tension and calm. Mm-hmm. Okay, Arya's going to make it out. Okay. Oh, crap.
You're too young, but it reminded me a lot of people who were in the audience of the raptor scene from the first Jurassic Park movie.
I've seen the first Jurassic Park
movie. I know, I'm kidding.
It just also came out when I was small. But
I was small too.
I was smaller.
That small.
I was smaller. Trust. But
it reminded me a lot of that. And again, that scene is a classic for a reason. That's just because it has just such silent tension, and Arya was right there with it.
Yeah. And the fact that it was a much quieter form of tension. I mean, obviously, we're all very afraid for Arya, but it's still tension. But there's this kind of peace to it because it's so quiet, and because we're seeing Arya learn how to not get murdered by zombies.
Which, I mean, is also a prelude to her sneaking by the White Walk with a little hair flip.
That's right.
And also, I thought it was really great how it showed off her assassin skills, because, like, she made no noise.
That's right. She's an assassin. A full Assassin's Creed, and in a better way than when she had to do the run through the city.
If there was one cheesy moment, I liked it, but it was when the Hound was having a little panic attack and saying, like, we can't beat him. And Beric's like, she's still fighting. Arya's on the roof, like, tumbling off.
Yeah.
Or Lyanna. That was when Lyanna got up and stabbed the dragon. That was pretty
good. Yeah, I mean, I can't be too mad about it because, very much in the Hound's character. And I thought it was important to show that not everybody's a hero. when we get down to this nitty gritty. Like, not everybody is an Avenger that can keep getting up time after time. This is the, like, the Hound has never been that kind of dude anyway, but we see him pull out the heroics to save Arya's butt later.
Beric too.
Beric too.
And now we realize that's why he was brought back so many times, so could save Arya, because Arya got to kill the Night King.
Yep. His purpose has been served.
You know what? There's been so much talk about, like, oh, the show's been too much about Jon Snow and Daenerys. I don't think that's being borne out, frankly, these first two episodes. There's quite a lot of love being spread around.
I feel like this episode was kind of the most balanced.
Even the last week.
But even the last week was better.
Yeah. First week had a dragon flight scene.
Yeah. Oh, boy. We've talked about that, and I'm not going to get back into it. But, yeah, I feel like because of the expanded time, there was time to look at everybody closely. Everybody got this character moment. Everybody got this second to show off why we've stuck with them for so many years. But yeah,
by the way, real fast, because people have been asking in the comments about, is this person dead? Is this person dead? I think who I saw die were Dolores Edd.
Yes.
Lyanna Mormont.
Yes.
Beric Dondarrion.
Yes.
Jorah Mormont. Oh, both the Mormont House Mormont's gone.
Yep.
Theon Greyjoy.
Correct.
The Night King.
The Night King.
Melisandre. And Viserion.
Yes.
Zombie dragon.
Yes.
I think that's everybody who died. Because, I mean, like, if they die, you want us. They would show it.
Exactly. Like, you'll notice that all, I can count, 8 of these deaths were shown very pointedly.
Totally.
Like, we got lingering shots on people's eyes open. Like, hey, these people are dead.
Oh, so, totally. I mean, they're not going to kill Ghost and not show it to you. They gave Lyanna Mormont an epic, and she's a pretty small character, like an epic send-off. They're going to show you somebody else.
Her and the giant lying together in death. another great shot. But, like, there was all of this emphasis on this person's dead, this person's dead, this person's dead, this person's dead.
Yeah.
So I think Rhaegal's probably going to be fine.
That's the one thing I'm not sure of, because he did look wounded up there in that dragon-on-dragon fight. By the way, dragon-on-dragon fight. We've been waiting for that for a long time. How'd that go over?
That was actually really good.
Like, it was good. It was exciting.
I mean, I was a little concerned, because, like, I mean, it's hard to shoot dragons fighting. Like,
it's hard to shoot just CGI thing versus CGI thing.
But especially when they're...
Make it look good.
Yeah, especially when they're those sizes. Like, it... Oh, but, yeah, it was really good. Like, even the fact that they were clutched together like that, like, that's what you would expect.
Sure. It did look brutal. Oh my god. The Viserion, like, snapping at Jon on the dragon, that was pretty good.
Yeah, that was...
Oh. I also liked his collapsed mouth toward the end there.
Yeah.
He was crumbling into dust. So yeah, I'm pretty sure those 8 are the ones who died. I'm out about Rhaegal. We'll find out next week.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody else died.
No.
Grey Worm, Tormund, Brienne, Jaime. I mean, yes, they looked in danger, but I don't think it was next week because we'd have seen it.
Right.
Okay. We've gone through a bunch. Anything else you want to bring up? Any moments that stood out to you?
I am blown away. Like, I had high expectations for this episode, and I'm kind of hard to impress by the fact that I really didn't like Avengers Endgame. Sorry, guys.
We'll talk about that later.
We'll talk about that later. But it just... all I can do is, like, keep breathing and realize that was one of the best hour and 22 minutes of television that I've ever seen.
It seems like 55 night shoots or whatever well spent.
Yep.
Because they worked really hard on that. And it did show. Yeah, let's have a round of applause for that. That was some... good television. They worked. They worked their asses off for that.
Yeah,
and
they did
show.
That
it entertained me quite a lot.
Yeah.
Someone else said something. I forget what it was.
Melissa
said that shot of Drogon and Rhaegal against the moon was very beautiful. I really liked that bit too. That was that was truly a bit of quiet and clearness. Because so much of the episode was, like, bathed in fog and smoke and just darkness. But just, you have that, like, we've we're talking about like tension breaks where it's like the tension of the talking of the crypts, the tension of the fighting.
Right.
Just have a shot of just like, oh my God, you can see everything clearly and no music was a really nice break, even though the Night King shot up out of the cloud a second later and tried to light him on fire.
Yeah. No, it was clever in when it deployed those pretty shots.
Yes. And there weren't that many.
And there weren't that many, but there were enough that we noticed them and were able to appreciate them. Yes.
Indeed. Okay, Melisandre, finally. Let's hit her. Because if Arya was the MVP, I think I'd put her second.
Yeah.
She had... It was almost like one moment too many. Like, she gets to light the swords and she gets to light the bonfire. Which, I mean, you know, she can do it. Go for you, girl.
I'll fight you with that one.
I mean, neither helped.
Yeah, it was more buying time than anything. And that was her purpose at the end of the day. I liked that she says, I'm going to be dead before the dawn.
That was nice.
And the dawn is simple. Just breaking.
Perfect.
As she drops her necklace and dies as herself in her true form. Like, this very poetic ending to this
very
symphony of brutality that we just sat through.
And also to a character who's always been full of contrast and contradictions and just, they let her go out kind of as seriously as she came in.
Yeah.
And never kind of compromised. I don't know. She never went like, she never came like a good dude or a bad guy. She was always her kind of
her own
morally
dude.
Mercury Melisandre. I did like that she went out that way.
She was her own dude.
Like the best human drama, and it was probably Davos and Melisandre. Because most of it, I mean, the Arya moment was obviously the top of the episode.
Yeah.
A lot of great moments. But if like the most Game of Thronesy moment was was Melisandre and Davos looking at each other and her saying, you don't gotta kill me, I'm gonna be dead anyway.
Like, it's fine.
And he got the last bit. He was looking at her. I think he was gonna like take his sword and be like, okay, battle's over, time to go.
Grab a bow from off to the side.
Martha asked, does that mean Azor Ahai has come? And really quick, because Azor Ahai is this big book theory. Okay, I can say this now. I've always thought Azor Ahai was crap. I thought it was a stupid idea. If anybody believes it, of course, you're the best. And I mean, like, believe whatever you want.
It's your opinion, man.
It always seemed like a distraction to me in the fandom. Like, who cares who's the prophesied savior? Just, like, tell a good story. And this was a good story.
I think you might have actually stumbled onto the point. Let me try and formulate this because I'm still post-adrenaline rush. Apologies, everyone. But so much of the kind of history of Game of Thrones, like all of the stories that we are told are crap in some way, shape, or form.
Right.
Down to like Rhaegar. Rhaegar is a perfect example of this because he is either a saint or he is the worst in most tellings of the story.
Right.
Right. But Jon comes in and says, actually, he was just a dude that fell in love with someone he wasn't supposed to fall in love with. And everything has been broken ever since. Like, not everything is true in the way that we seem to think it's true, basically. Mm-hmm. In fact, it takes a certain point of view. It's a Star Wars joke, guys. But so many of the stories, so many of the things we think we know aren't true. Like, we don't even know if the timeline that we kind of are practicing is actually correct. Like, so much has passed into myth and legend that, yeah, Azor Ahai could be totally crap. It could have some grain of truth into it, but it could be totally crap. And I think that that's the point, sort of, maybe.
I think I'll make this quick. I swear.
We're getting a theory, guys.
Through things like Star Wars and other things, we've been trained to like have this, you know, hero's journey narrative where the hero has to do the thing at the end. Like Luke has to kill the Emperor or Darth Vader or whatever. Frodo's got to throw the thing into the volcano, the ring into the volcano. And I think people really latched on to this. There's got to be a Messiah, right? There's got to be a Jon or Daenerys that has to save the day in some big epic way.
Well, yeah.
And you just, no, like, it doesn't have to be that way. It's a huge ensemble, and we can have all kinds of solutions to problems.
I mean, Star Wars is, like, the greatest modern example of...
Yes, it's wonderful and important. I'm not it saying
is.
It's not,
but... It is. No, and I'm saying that it's based in the...
The collective subconscious.
Monomyth.
Yes.
Is the correct term. But that's a story that humanity has had for forever, basically. I mean, right. Even stuff like the Epic of Gilgamesh follows a very similar pattern. But that is way
it really is.
The literary theory corner, guys. And we're going to stop because it's late.
We are. Okay.
But yeah, like, Azor Ahai could be totally crap. The prince that was promised could be totally crap.
And now, I think we're going to move into a post-episode 3 Battle of Winterfell kind of phase of the show, where messiahs are not going to be a point at all.
Nope.
Now, it looks like we're going to get down to the human versus human, squabbling for the throne, politicking, power play thing that Game of Thrones has always, at bottom, been about, even though there's this apocalyptic existential threat. At the end of the day, it's always been about the people, and now we're going to get back to that, and I'm pretty excited to see... Mm-hmm. Well, they have up their sleeve for that, because honestly, I don't know.
I know. Isn't it great?
It really is.
Because, like, for our jobs, to elucidate, or elaborate, rather, we tend to know spoilers. Like, it's just part of the gig. We know a lot of spoilers. And we talk about them on Wick Club occasionally. Mm-hmm. But...
Wick Club.
For once, I don't know what's going to happen. And I'm into it.
So into it.
After this episode, like, I'm more into it than I have been for a while. Like, this is the first episode of Game of Thrones I can remember since, like, Winds of Winter, which is still one of my favorite episodes of television, where I can just remember just going, oh my God, oh my God. Like, you know, like moving my hands because I don't have words. Like, just, this is happening. Oh my gosh. Like, y'all, it was a good night.
Yeah, let's predict the next one on the Wednesday show at 4 o'clock, which we do every Wednesday at 4 p.m. CST, Take the Black Live.
We do.
Okay, any other thoughts, Cheryl, before we close out this episode that probably has a name by now, but I don't know it yet.
Yeah, we don't know it. Sorry, guys.
Battle of Winterfell.
Probably.
And yes, I think Gendry is alive, Jackie. Really quick, just for everybody out there. People who died. Dolores Sale, Lyanna Mormont, Beric Dondarrion, Jorah Mormont, Theon Greyjoy, Melisandre, the Night King, and Viserion. Everybody else, well, I think, is alive.
For good this time, for Viserion.
Someone did, yes. Someone did point out that they didn't see Ghost come back with the Dothraki, because he was out with them.
Yes.
But others came back. And again, I tend to think they would have shown it if he had died.
Just hiding, guys.
He wasn't in there a lot, though. Like, they really just...
They basically
this just... This fur must just be really hard to animate.
It actually is.
I don't know.
That's actually a thing. Yeah, fur is really hard.
Yeah, I have heard that. It's dragons like are easier. Sorry.
Like, fur and hair are super hard to animate, so...
And CJ, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so any other thoughts about this episode, about the Battle of Winterfell, just call it?
No, I'm good. I feel like at this point it would just kind of be me screaming into the void, and I don't think anybody wants to hear that, least of all me.
All right. Well, thanks for watching, guys. I really don't. God bless Arya Stark is my final bit. Oh, the hero we deserve and the hero we got.
Yes.
And the one who actually had the hero for this entire time, I guess. We just didn't realize it.
Surprise.
All right. Thanks a lot for watching, guys. We'll be back to discuss more about this, preview the next episode, which we don't know what's going to happen. We'll talk about all that theory this Wednesday at 4 p.m. CST on the Winterfell Facebook page right here. Also, if you want to get hot spoiler tea, which we can go over again, now we have the new information, the Wick Club, our Patreon page, is a great place to stay informed to get extra episodes of this. Thanks a lot for watching. Jonna says that Arya badass AF. Can't agree more.
Accurate.
And can't wait to see this to get it. Thanks a lot. We'll see you soon. Have a lovely evening.
Night, everyone.